This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Colts defense putting him in a lot of difficult situations.
Fields again won it for his life. And he's going backwards.
Oh, man.
The football came loose. They're going to mark him down. But they are knocked out of field goal range. Chris LeMons at EJ Speed giving chase for the Colts.
Yeah, that ball got to Justin Fields at about the same time the Colts defenders did. The offensive line had some really bad moments in the game. I was watching back some of Najee Harris's runs, and he wasn't good, but the line wasn't exactly wonderful at points for him. And now we find out that the Steelers' right guard, James Daniels, he's out for the year. So that means Daniels out for the year. Troy Fautanu out for the year. So your starting right tackle, your starting right guard, done, finished. If the Steelers make the playoffs, Fautanu might be able to return. You also lost your best backup interior offensive lineman for the year, Nate Herbig. Isaac Seumalo has been on the shelf. And so real quick, Doran, I feel like the Steelers' offensive line, I feel like the Steelers' offense is kind of hanging by a thread. When, what do they want to do? They want to run the ball and play defense. And yeah, they're going to use tight ends. And I think Arthur Smith has a very offensive line friendly scheme. But you're one injury away now of not having a replacement. And they had like nine guys I felt comfortable with before. Now you've got five more, Seumalo, Frazier, McCormick, and Jones. Maybe you can throw Spencer Anderson in there. He's kind of been up and down, but they're, I think, hanging by a thread. And this is an offensive line over the last 2 years has been mostly healthy.
Yeah, it's been mostly healthy. But my question to you is do you rather this happen now? And a lot of these, two of these guys are going to be out for the season. I get that. But two, and some could come back, and you probably could sign some guys to really fit what your scheme is. I'm sure Arthur Smith has a list of guys that can that are out there that could fit what he wants to do on offense that he's familiar with. But would you rather this happen now or happen in November?
I would rather it happen now. It's a good point because you probably know your five. I would expect Seumalo back this week. I was expecting that anyhow, but it's amazing how fast players heal when you need them. So it's more Seumalo, Frazier, likely McCormick, and then Broderick Jones. And this is almost what it's going to be next year and beyond, with the exception of it should be Broderick Jones at left and Fautanu at right.
It's funny how things play out, isn't it? And whenever we speculate, and that's our business, that's our job, is speculating and kind of putting, you know, rosters together and lineups together. Like, we're like, all right, Broderick, going into this season, Broderick's going to be the left tackle, Troy Fautanu is going to be the right. oh, what's going to happen with Herbig? Why is Herbig taking first team center snaps? Why isn't Frazier just in there automatically? And everything just aligning the way that, you know, not the way that you look at it, but sometimes the way that you look at it. I mean, Fautan, and then you're worried about Broderick. Like, why isn't Broderick playing? You know, he had three penalties. He's never going to get back in the lineup. Then he's right back into the lineup. And then, you know, Mason McCormick, well, you drafted him to be James Daniels' replacement for next year because James Daniels' contract's up. But Mason McCormick is in there. It's just funny how things just kind of fall into place sometimes. And, you know, injuries happen in football, but it's who can be the healthiest whenever it really does matter. And the Steelers have done themselves, you know, a good deal here because they are 3-1. You know, they do have a winning record. You could be, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals that's trying to climb out of the hole but also lost your right tackle for the whole entire year. So these injuries are going to happen, but it's nice in a way, I mean, you know, looking at the, you know, glass half full, that your record is more successful than it is.
Yeah, it makes it easier. It does. You've got some wiggle room here, and you would expect that this version of the line, if it stays healthy, gets better over the course of the year. I'm excited to watch McCormick next to Zach Frazier, next to Seumalo. That should be the interior of your offensive line for a little while now. McCormick's a bad dude. Frazier is a bad dude. We've seen elements of it from Broderick Jones where at times, just ask Bosa from 2 weeks ago, he can be a bad dude. I think come the end of the year, if this is the offensive line, that they're a bunch of mean son of a guns. We ain't seen Seumalo yet. That's how he's made his money in his NFL career. And Dan Moore Jr., for all you can talk about with pass protection, has been a good run-blocking left tackle in the league. They still have elements here where they can be a really physical offensive line. And there's still a ton of pedigree on this offensive line. And I do think you have to compliment Omar Khan on really fortifying the depth. Because you're right, they could be like Cincinnati, where now you feel like you're up Bleeps Creek without a paddle. You can win games with more Seumalo, Frazier, McCormick, and Jones. Question is, what happens now if you lose one of your tackles? If you lose a tackle, you're in a bad way. Because now it's going to be Spencer Anderson playing tackle for the first time in the NFL. You are one injury away, I think, from disaster on the offensive line. And you'd have to consider then making a trade at the deadline. Teams are not going to want to part with offensive linemen. You're going to have to pay a king's ransom, or the guys you're going to be able to acquire aren't going to be able to be very good. So I just think they're close to disaster zone here. And then you've got Warren, who's banged up. You've got Highsmith, who's going to be out for a couple of weeks. You just lost Cordero Patterson, who had to get carted off the field, or at least off the sideline, and you wonder how long he's going to be out. The Steelers at 3-1, Doran.
Mm.
With all these injuries, I don't want to give them too much credit because I still think what happened on Sunday was bad, 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 bad. They didn't even show up for the game. I mean, at 3-1 dealing with all this, it's kind of remarkable in a way.
Yeah, they're figuring it out. And it's like, you know, that's how Tomlin runs his team's next man up. But the running back position is definitely worrisome because Najee's already banged up. And, you know, obviously Cordero Patterson and Jalen Warren's not going to play this week probably. So You got to sign some guys to the practice squad or sign some guys to the active roster that have legitimate NFL experience, like not some rookies that have been released. Like you need some guys that have carried the ball in the NFL to be able to be called up for a couple weeks. And I don't know, even know who that is at this point. I mean, Boston Scott was right. A guy that had played had a lot of reps in the NFL, but he got hurt.
Is that the guy that works on the Pat McAfee show? Boston Connor.
It's Boston Connor.
Yeah. Bang, nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Highsmith injury, in retrospect, bigger than I thought it would be. Now, I realize that Herbig also got nicked up in this game against the Colts, but he's such a complete player. You know, he can set the edge. He can rush the pass. There's a guy that's had 14 sacks in the NFL, so you do have to contend for him. And look, I think we both agree that Nick Herbig is a good player and has a chance to be a great player. But I do think it bears remembering that this is somebody that needs to develop at the NFL level, who needs reps, who he's not just going to come in and be as good setting the edge, stopping the run as an Alex Highsmith. And at one of the more crucial moments of the game on Sunday, they ran right at his ass. I mean, they said, we need to get a first down running the football with Jonathan Taylor. Where are we running it? We're running it, Nick Herbig. They've been ravaged. And there's a couple of guys you can't afford to lose. I think Joey Porter Jr. is on that list. Obviously, TJ Watt's on that list. I think George Pickens is on that list. It's better to happen now than late in the season. Hopefully, they've got time to recover. But their depth is already being tested, and I don't like it. 412-928-9370. Is it obvious that I just burped into the microphone there?
No.
Okay, good. Well, then I didn't. Pirates let a couple of people go. Bullpen coach and the hitting coach, Andy Haynes, has been fired by the Pirates. Is that enough? I don't think it's enough.
Scapegoat?
That's exactly what comes to mind. Look, the Pirates didn't score enough runs. But I look at the roster. How many times was Connor Joe batting in the cleanup spot?
Right.
Like, that's not Andy Haynes' fault. I mean, in a way it is, because you want guys like Jack Sawinski or Henry Davis to develop to the point where they should be your cleanup hitters. But, you know, if you're playing Connor Joe as much as they played Connor Joe, if you're playing Jared Triolo as much as they played Jared Triolo, if they're having Alika Williams come up and down from the minors all season long, that all strikes me as much more of a general manager problem than it does a hitting coach problem. This isn't to say that Andy Haynes didn't deserve to be fired. We've called for that for a season plus now. But to me, you finished with the same exact record this year as you had last year, and you had Paul Skeens on your team? That's not good enough. And so, to me, Andy Haynes and the bullpen coach, for God's sakes, they can't be the only guys who lose their jobs. No offense to anybody involved.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
A baseball question. Now, I know how it works in football, and so do you. So every head coach has a trade, right? Doesn't every head coach? Mike Tomlin's trade is what? Defense. And, you know, Andy Reid or Sean McVay is an offensive guy. He was an offensive coordinator. And whenever you're the head guy, you still have that trade. That's your mentality. It's either offense or defense. And usually the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator that is underneath your trade runs your type of trade, right? Like, it's my offense. I'm an offensive guy. Even though I'm a head coach, this is my offense. I want you, offensive coordinator, to run my offense, even though that you're the coordinator. Isn't Derek Shelton a hitting coach by trade?
Yep.
So in baseball, like, is his philosophies pressed upon Andy Haynes?
I would think so.
And not Andy Haynes' own philosophy. Maybe his little, like, you know, tinkering, things of that nature. But the philosophy of hitting comes from where? Andy Haynes or Derek Shelton?
I think they're hand in glove. I think they both view it exactly the same way. I don't think Andy Haynes would be coaching stuff that he doesn't want, or that Derek Shelton doesn't want to be coached.
There you go.
I think that does answer the question.
There you go.
You know, I think some of the bullpen management issues this year looked bad on Derek Shelton. Some of that is just simply guys not performing. When you're in the thick of the race, Colin Holderman turned into a pumpkin. When you're in the thick of the race, and really basically all season long, your closer, David Bednar, didn't pitch like the all-star he was the last couple of years. He wasn't on the honor roll. He's on the toilet roll, Dorn. And so I think some of the bullpen management stuff gets thrown on Shelton, and I don't necessarily blame him for some of it because guys didn't perform. But the hitting is absurd to me. You can't be this bad for the last few years. You're a hitting coach by trade, and then you just fire the hitting coach and you think that things are going to magically change? Like, the next guy you bring in, you think he's going to do it any different than Andy Haynes was doing it? I don't think so. Now, Haynes didn't do a good job. You consider Key Brian Hayes, and he got better because he was working with Nunnally, and then they fire Nunnally. Like, so now outside organization guy is helping someone who's a cornerstone or should be part of your franchise, and he got better working without Andy Haynes? So, yeah, Haynes did need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Shelton's got to go too. Ben Charrington's got to go too. You needed to improve this year. They couldn't even do that. You're sitting at 76 wins. Again? With Paul Skeens. With Luis Ortiz having a 330 some odd ERA. With Jared Jones emergence. With Bailey Falter pitching way above what you thought Bailey Falter would be able to bring to the table. A rotation that gave you a chance to win most nights, and you still finish with the same exact record, firing the hitting coach, firing the bullpen coach, that's not enough. And we'd love to hear from you. We don't usually talk baseball this time of year because the Pirates fall out of it. Well, there's big-time news. So we'll talk about it. Is it enough? 412-928-9370. And how worried are you about the Steelers' injury and offensive line situation? 412-928-9370. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Also, the Dolphins lose again last night, and it's not just the loss, it's the way it looked. Might they be making a call on Russell Wilson? Talk about that, too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Lindor sends this one high and deep to center. Harris is watching. You gotta be kidding me! Lindor dumps it into the pen, and the Mets are back on top. Francisco Lindor's 33rd of Pierce Johnson, and the Mets have an answer.
So there was a doubleheader yesterday. Whichever team between the Mets and the Braves won game one of the doubleheader, they would clinch a playoff spot. And then if the other team would win the second game, they would clinch a playoff spot and keep the Diamondbacks out of the playoffs. Well, that's exactly what happened. The Mets, in an all-time classic regular season game, they win game one, back and forth affair. You see those win probability lines on the graph?
Yep.
And it looks like probably what my EKG looked like during the Pitt West Virginia Backyard Brawl game this year. They win the game in comeback dramatic fashion, so they make the playoffs. Braves win game two, they make the playoffs. The Diamondbacks sitting at home. Couple things here, and it all relates to the Pirates, but Andrew Filippone, a Mets fan, wearing his Mets sweatshirt yesterday, when the Mets won game one, clinched a playoff berth, he started shaking his arms up in the air like grandma hit bingo.
Yeah, like lunch lady arms.
Yeah. And it's the way the sweatshirt looks, yeah. And it says sweatshirt's flap, and it looked like he had the bingo arms going.
I was howling. I was like, what is that celebration?
I've watched that way too many times. Pony just going,
he does it twice. He does like a, and he goes again. Muller's just like looking at him like, goodness gracious.
So congratulations to Pony. His Mets are going to the playoffs.
And Finley.
And Greg Finley.
Yes.
Who works at the AM, whose Mets are going to the playoffs. And he sweats through every single one of those Mets games, does Finley. And I don't know how much Pony gets to watch, but of course you're going to root for the team you grew up rooting for. Anytime something good happens to a Major League Baseball team, it hurts me. It hurts me. Anytime I see fans celebrating their baseball team, part of me dies inside, mm-hmm. Doran. Seriously, it's this weird feeling. I'm watching that game yesterday, and it was super entertaining and incredibly dramatic, and I'm going to watch the playoffs. I always do. Part of me was real sad. The Pirates have the longest playoff drought in the National League at 10 consecutive years. They haven't made it since 2015. They really haven't been close since 2015. Now, they've had a winning season in there. You had that month and a half where Josh Bell was hitting the ball like Willie Stargell. You had Skeens this year. You had the 20-8 start last year. But these are fleeting moments, few and far between. When the Tigers made the playoffs the other day, that hurt me. The Royals were an 100-loss team last year. They're taking on the Orioles. The Orioles, who have been a perennial doormat like the Pirates, though they've had some success. That hurts me. And here the Pirates are, last season at 76 wins. You spend $35 million, that's it, during the offseason. You come out this year, 76 wins. What's your solution? Now, after you've stagnated, let's fire the hitting coach, let's fire the bullpen coach. To me, it's not enough, man. And I look at the Pirates in the statistics of what they were able to do, hitting the baseball. Fourth most strikeouts in all of Major League Baseball. Second most strikeouts in the National League. You scroll all the way down to 24th for runs scored. It's just not good enough. When you think about batting average, you don't think Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 23rd in the league. Batting average, one more number. While we're on it, slugging percentage, 27th in Major League Baseball. So you strike out a ton. If you hit home runs and you slug the ball, that's fine. They don't.
Uh-uh.
They don't put the ball in play, and it can't just be the hitting coach. He needed to go. He had the same problems in Milwaukee. Too many caught-looking strike threes. But if Derek Shelton's the manager next year, I don't know why we would expect the team to hit more home runs. I don't know why we would expect young players to grow and develop. And that, to me, is the biggest issue. Henry Davis was supposed to be a guy, not a guy. Jack Sawinski hit 26 homers last year. He was almost an all-star. I thought he could hit 30 this year. He spent the entire season in the minors. That can't just be all... I spilled water everywhere. That can't just all be on Andy Haynes.
It's not. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, how can you look yourself in the mirror and think that this is going to be any better next year?
Right.
If the actual regime, which is the manager, is still in place. Like, it's going to be the same thing. And then you're wasting years of a you know, just a ridiculous talent of Paul Skeens and a ridiculous talent of Jared Jones and a guy that's a staple and could be a staple between those guys or at the back end of those guys in Mitch Keller. You know, in the regression of young players, as he just said, Henry Davis, the regression of Jack Sawinski, the regression of, you know, just, you know, really everybody. And Ke'Bryan Hayes, I don't know how you can think that it's going to be any better. You thought it was going to be better this year, and it wasn't.
That's right.
And how can you think it's going to be better next year?
I'm with you. And we thought that they might have this core of position players that you can build around. You've got, at this point, I think two guys you can count on. I think O'Neill Cruz had a good season. He played 9 games last year. He goes 20-20. That's a good season. I'm expecting him to get better.
He got moved, though.
And he got moved to center field.
They moved his position.
Couldn't figure it out at shortstop. Was throwing the ball away.
Yeah, he did
not
good at the
squeezing
plate.
It.
Yeah.
You're right. You went into the season thinking you got your shortstop of the future, and now you find out he's your center fielder of the future. You're right about that. Now you're talking about maybe moving Brian Reynolds to first base. So we'll see how that all goes. I thought Sawinski would be a guy who could be a mainstay here. Not like the cornerstone of your franchise, but if he's hitting fifth or sixth in your lineup, 26 homers last year, if he could do something similar this year, that's a big deal. Didn't happen. They still don't have a first baseman. You point that, I would think, to Ben Cherington, unable to figure that out. In 2019, Ben Cherington took over. They had Starling Marte. They had Brian Reynolds. They had 26-year-old Josh Bell, who hit 37 homers the year before. That's three players to build around. Now we're 5 years removed from that. And you've got Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz. They had three guys. You've got two. Nobody believes in Key Brian Hayes.
Mm-mm.
You know, most of that, if not all of that, is injury. Maybe it's not. I mean, they haven't been able to figure it out. That's the thing. I don't really care why. Haven't been able to figure him out. That guy can't hit.
Mm-mm.
Can't hit. Jared Triolo last season hits 300. This year, he's one of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball. When Ben Cherington took over, you had three legitimate players that you figured you could build around, or you could use his trade chips to bring in talent. Marte gets traded. Bell gets traded. Where are you reaping the returns on any of that kind of stuff? You're not. You're in just as bad of a spot from a hitting standpoint as you were when Ben Cherington took over. But by all means, just fire the hitting coach.
Right.
Just fire the bullpen coach.
That makes sense.
It's not good enough.
Mm-mm.
76 wins in two consecutive seasons. Every time Paul Skenes took the mound, the Pirates, a team that finished with a losing record, was a betting favorite pretty much, because you should win when that guy takes the mound. And what did he finish? 11-3 with an ERA under 2. And you win as many games? If that's the only upgrade you make from 1 year to the next, adding the best pitcher in baseball, you should win more games than you did the year before. That they didn't. It's not just the hitting coach. It's not. And I'm not saying they did the wrong thing. They did part of the right thing. He needed to go. He probably needed to go midway through the year. We talked about it. But that can't be it. That can't be it. IKF joins the team, significantly worse hitter whenever he was a Pirate than before he was a Pirate.
Yep.
Brian De La Cruz hit 19 homers, comes to Pittsburgh, hits three. One like a month plus, his first one like a month plus after he got brought in. The other two, I think the Pirates were trailing by a few runs in each of those games. Like, he hit three meaningless home runs for the Pirates. He was a good player, or at least a good power hitter, before he got over here, and then turned into Key Brian Hayes once he got here.
I'll tell you what, they should be thanking their lucky stars that they lucked into Joey Bart.
Man.
They lucked into that. And that was a case where you had injuries at that position, but you also had a player that you couldn't develop at that position that was a 1-1 guy, so you make a trade, and you acquire a guy that's a 1-2 guy, but he wasn't supposed to be, you know, your mainstay at catcher.
No.
And he ends up literally, like, think about if Joey Bart wasn't here this year, how many games would they have won?
Oh, my God.
Like, he won them a bunch of games.
He was really good for them. And you can point to Reynolds, Cruz, McCutchen, and Bart were your good hitters. And Bart had a 799 OPS, a 462 slugging percentage. That's a really good year for a catcher. A really good year for a catcher. That's four guys. Four guys that I think had good offensive seasons. Like, even Nick Gonzalez, who you missed because you didn't have anything, hit 270 with a 709 OPS. Like, they couldn't hit. And if they're going to get to a place where you're contending for playoffs, You know they're not going to spend the money, so you got to spend the money on the right guys, and then you've got to develop your young talent, the Henry Davises of the world, the Jack Sawinskis of the world, the Nick Gonzalez's of the world. And I just don't think Derek Shelton's the man for that task. 412-928-9370, that's the phone number. Back to football?
Sure.
Back to football. The Dolphins lose last night to Mason Rudolph. But that's not the quarterback situation we're going to be talking about when we return. We'll tell you what, we'll tell you why, we'll tell you who when we get back. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Oh, baby. Titans-Dolphins was a gross football game, but I think a lot of people around here wound up watching too much of it because one Mason Rudolph came in to relieve Will Levis after Will Levis dove trying to get a first down, did get a first down, busted up his shoulder. So Mason Rudolph goes 9-17 for 85 yards, darn. And the Titans beat the Dolphins 31-12. It's not that quarterback worth talking about, though. Tyler Huntley started, played for Miami, 14 out of 22, 96 yards. He got sacked a couple of times. Just a brutal offensive performance for Miami. And they broke, in the fourth quarter, a 10-quarter touchdown drought. So even with the boy genius calling the plays and Mike McDaniel, they can't move the ball without Tua Tagovailoa. And the Steelers just got one of their better quarterback performances in a very long time from Justin Fields. Does that make Russell Wilson expendable? Does Miami call on Russell Wilson? Are you willing to give up Russell Wilson at this point, Doran?
It depends on what I'm getting back, man. I mean, we just talked about in the first segment, half of the first segment, about the injuries, and we know injuries are a part of the game. So it depends on what I'm getting back. I need a player. You know, I mean, a draft pick is fine, but if you want to tie that to a player, then that's what I'm looking for. I don't know what type of player that they'd be looking for. What do they need right now more than another position? I mean, they need running backs. You know, they need wide receivers. They need offensive line. So I need a player back. And it would all come to the cost of, do I get what I want?
Right.
Because I have what you want. And you can only get what you want if you give me what I want. So Steelers have the upper hand right now. I'm sure that Miami's calling. I mean, you know, you can listen to whoever and say that they're not entertaining any conversations. I'm sure that Omar Khan has picked up the phone.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
You have to.
Yeah, that's your job. You can't just answer the phone. Hey, do you mind getting Russell? Nope, see ya. Can't do that. You got to listen. You do. I like what you're saying about a player. I'm trying to win football games right now.
Now,
first round pick, okay. I don't think they'd be willing to do that. Second round pick, okay. Would consider it. I don't think they'd be willing to do that. But then I'm not furthering the conversation because you're going to need Russell Wilson at some point. Mm-hmm. You just are. Justin Fields has been good enough for me that he's my starting quarterback the rest of the way. If I'm Mike Tomlin, Justin Fields is my guy. When I take the podium today, even before I get asked a question, I would say, yes, Justin Fields is our guy the rest of the season. But backup quarterback is so valuable. So valuable. And if I'm trying to make the playoffs, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. I don't know that I'm winning football games with Kyle Allen. That's not to say he can't be a good backup quarterback. I think he probably is a good backup quarterback. He ain't Russell Wilson. That's a valuable arrow to have in your quiver. And unless I get blown away, I'm not sacrificing my season potentially to get a draft pick that's not going to help me win football games this year.
Well, I mean, if we want to look at it in that way, say it's a second round pick, what I would try to do if I'm Omar Khan, I'm sitting there and it's like, all right, it's a second round pick. It's a, you know, a decent second round pick. Okay, we'll make the trade Russell Wilson, get the second round pick, package the second round pick, go get Devontae Adams and sign Ryan Tannehill that's not on the team right now. Who knows the offense?
Now you're talking.
That's what I would do.
Now you're talking. I am in on that. Yes. That's a really good idea.
That's the only backup quarterback that could walk right off the street and you wouldn't have to miss a beat, but I would do that today. I'd sign him to the practice squad if he has the eligibility to do that. I don't know how that really works right now at this point in the season, but I would sign him to the practice squad regardless because he knows Arthur Smith's offense. So it's like, you know, give him a week on the practice squad to get acclimated, but he knows the calls. He knows how to just go in there and run this off. Like, that's the only guy I could think of that could come in and be a legit backup quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers that you wouldn't miss a beat, that has played a lot of football and has won underneath this offensive coordinator and has won in this league before. So that's what I would, if it was a pick and it was a decent second round pick, okay, here's Russ. He'll be healthy in about 2 weeks. or a week, whatever it is, or he's healthy now. You'd sell it like he's healthy now. Get that second round pick, package that, because you already have one next year. Package that to go get Davante Adams and then sign Tannehill.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. Would do that in a heartbeat, absolutely. There is such value for a backup quarterback that knows what they're doing. I've brought this up before. Mike Vick, Landry Jones. Who was the better backup quarterback for the Steelers? Landry Jones.
Correct.
Why? Because he knew the checks. He knew the protections. He knew the offense. I remember against Arizona, he taps his helmet. Antonio Brown, a third down, back shoulder throw. Vic, for even still being a great athlete at the time the Steelers had him, he wasn't doing stuff like that because he just didn't have a full understanding of the offense. It takes a long time to know it. You're right. Tannehill knows what's up with this offense. He would come in, hand the ball off, play action.
He can run.
He's way more athletic than people have ever given him credit for. Yep. He's a real good athlete.
I mean, he was a receiver.
Yes. Great receiver in college. So I would do that in a heartbeat. I don't want to sacrifice my team, help a playoff contender with a really good roster. Now, with the exception, obviously, of quarterback, make the playoffs if I'm not boosting my own chances too. And if you did get a draft pick in return, you could package that and go get a player, whether it's Davante Adams or any other receiver. Now you've got some more capital to play with. Doran, you're a genius. The Tannehill thing makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
I poo-pooed it way back when things change. Like, when we didn't know what Justin Fields would look like, of course you don't want to trade Russell Wilson. But now when you feel comfortable with your starter and you could backfill it with a good backup in Ryan Tannehill, you're saying, that makes a ton of sense.
But I'd do it now before anybody else gets that idea with Ryan Tannehill, because there are other – I mean, look at Miami. Like, what if they want to do that? You know, I mean, they could sign – he played there before. I mean, not underneath this regime, but, like, you're familiar with him if you're the owner. There are teams out there that are going to be looking for other backup quarterbacks. I'd sign him now. I'd get him underneath contract right now and just, you know, I mean, maybe even cut bait with Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have him. Just to have him around. And see what I can get for us. And I would, and I'd be sturdy too. Like, nope, this is what I want.
Yes.
Not moving.
Yes.
Just so you know that whenever I pick up the phone, I am not moving off of what I want. There's no chance.
And you know what it helps with too, is if you make this deal and you do it exactly the way you've talked about, Ryan Tannehill comes in here, he's got no designs on starting.
No.
He doesn't come in here thinking, oh, I'm going to go beat out Justin Fields. No. Nope. You don't have to deal with any of that stuff anymore. You don't have to think about it for a second. Justin Fields is our guy. There's no quarterback controversy. This depth chart that's going to come out today, which I'm sure is going to have Russell Wilson number one, and Tomlin's going to talk all around it. We'll see what Russell does. He's probably not going to practice in full on Wednesday. None of that stuff is going to be there. And you think about Miami, they're so desperate it could happen. Like, someone texts in another hypothetical. Yeah, because I think with every passing game.
What does this person think that we do every day?
Right. How many people have texted in for weeks now, you guys should really talk about trading Russell Wilson to the Dolphins. Now we do. Someone goes, oh, another hypothetical. If you watch the game last night, Tyreek Hill's freaking out on Mike McDaniel on the sideline. Like, he wants to win. They've got him. They've got Jaylen Waddle. They've invested in their offensive line. This is a team that fancies itself a Super Bowl contender, and they don't want their season to go down the tubes because their quarterback got hurt. So, yeah, it's a hypothetical, but I think it's a realistic one. And I think the three-team kind of deal that you've proposed, I think that's realistic too. Now, the Raiders won, and maybe they think they're better than they actually are. Those wheels can come off quick.
Well, I saw a picture. I don't know how real it is, but I saw it from a few accounts that there was somebody that tweeted out Davante Adams may have played his last game as a Raider, and Antonio Pierce liked the picture.
I saw that same thing.
Don't know if it's real or not.
I didn't either. I also on Facebook.
But I know he's upset.
Yeah, he's not loving this situation. Oh, it's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. Probably not going to be happy. I saw on Facebook, Doran, that you can buy software, AI software, that can replicate your voice.
Oh, nice. Great.
It's not too far down the road, buddy, where I think you're hosting a show with like R2-D2. Just some robot over here that sounds like me.
Do you like Russell Wilson? Do you want to smoke cigarettes with me?
412-928-9370.
West Virginia Mountaineers.
God, scary world we're living in. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Two celebrities, two athletes pass away yesterday. Very sad. We'll get into that a little bit when we come back. Jeff Hathorn joins us at 7. What does he think about this hypothetical? What's he make of Andy Haynes and the Pirates bullpen coach getting let go?
We did a bad job with the clock right there. We did a bad, bad job with the clock right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jeff Hathorn going to join us about 10 minutes. 50-ish minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Reports indicate that Andy Haynes out, Pirates bullpen coach out. We'll talk to Jeff Hathorn about that. Also, how about a hypothetical Russell Wilson to the Miami Dolphins trade? Sad news yesterday, Dikembe Mutombo passed away. He was 58?
58.
Ah, way too young. Pete Rose passes away at the age of 83. And now I feel disrespectful because we have not allowed for a lot of time to talk about these gentlemen in this segment. Mutombo, humanitarian. Really one of the great guys, the great people in NBA history. And to pass away brain cancer young, it's so sad. I didn't even know that he was dealing with that. One of the most fun defensive players to watch of all time.
Yes.
Take the ball to the rack on him, you were going to feel it.
Not today.
Not today. I can't do the voice. Try to throw some groceries in a shopping cart. Bang!
No.
One of the great commercials of all time. And then Pete Rose. Here's where I come down on the whole Pete Rose thing. People are going to do this today. You're going to have the sports talk radio host. Should Pete be in the Hall of Fame? Should Pete not be in the Hall of Fame? Here's my thing. I can't stand this ever when somebody gets in posthumously.
Right.
Like, if Pete Rose is posthumously inducted into the Hall of Fame at some point, weirdly, it's going to piss me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because he spends his entire life pushing for it, and there's a groundswell of people behind him pushing for it, and then after he passed away, he doesn't even get to see it. Exactly. That kind of stuff drives me nuts. If you're going to do it, do it.
Right.
Right?
Whenever they're alive.
It just feels like such a disservice. I don't know that it's ever going to happen, like that Major League Baseball is ever going to go back on that, but if it does, it'll be a day worth celebrating for so many and for his family and things of that nature. But at the same time, I think part of me would always have that kernel of, I'm really pissed off that you wouldn't let the guy in when he was alive to enjoy it, to spend time with his family, to celebrate with his family. That kind of thing drives me nuts.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just guys like Pete Rose. It's anybody. Uh-huh. It's anybody who gets inducted posthumously. Like, if you were worthy of Hall of Fame induction and you wait until after they pass away, it really pisses me off. Anyhow, RIP to those guys.
Yes.
More on them later on in the show. Jeff Hathorn joins us next. Clock screwed. But we'll get back on track when we return. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road in McMurray, or at sunchevy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.